My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast.
We want to talk about the anticipation of heaven. My friend, do you anticipate heaven? Now, it's great to anticipate and to want it, but are we doing what we need to do in order to have that home in heaven? From Philippians 1:20-24, let us consider the following thoughts. First of all, in verse 20, the Apostle Paul had an earnest expectation and we anticipate heaven because of the hope that we have as Christians. The definition of expectation is wonderful in the original language. It means primarily a watching, outstretched head. It signifies a strained expectancy, an eager longing, the stretching forth of the head indicating an expectation of something from a certain place. It also suggests an abstraction and an absorption, an abstraction from anything else that might engage the attention, an absorption in the object expected till it arrives. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, I think about an outstretched neck of how people will be on a train track or at a station and they'll lean over with an outstretched neck to see if the train's coming. Or a child that will look out the door or look out the window to see when daddy will arrive home from work. You know, Paul talked about our longing in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, when Paul is writing there to the church, the saved individuals, when he says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man sees, why does he hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." We hope for it and we patiently long for it. And we anticipate it because of that hope that we have. In Hebrews 11 and verse 16, speaking of those of great faith, the Bible says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Hebrews 11 verse 16. Those that are faithful with an outstretched neck and a heart of hope long and anticipate heaven. What a wonderful thought. Because of that hope that the Christian has, one anticipates heaven. But number two, we anticipate heaven because this world is not our home. You know, the Apostle Paul had that struggle in Philippians 1:20-24. He said, "I am in a strait betwixt two. I'm in the middle. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to abide here is needful for you." So we anticipate heaven because this world is not our home. Obviously, one wants to be with Christ, which is far better. Hebrews 13:14 reminds us, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." In Hebrews 11 and verse 16, once again, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we are reminded of the beauty of serving as a Christian, but yet where our focus should be. A focus because this world is not our home. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, as the old hymn states. And of course, an individual anticipates heaven because this world is not our home. This is just a temporary place for us to be. And as we think about that, we should always be reminded that there's something better than this life. If we invest everything we have in this life but yet lose heaven, we've lost it all. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, "What is a man profited if he have gained the whole world yet lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" Number three, we anticipate heaven, dear friends, because our conversation should be toward heaven. Remember, Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "To die is a gain. For the Christian to die is a gain from this life to the next one." In Philippians 3:20-21, we're reminded that our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be likened unto his glorious body, or fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Jesus Christ, our conversation is toward him. The word conversation in the Old King James English means a complete lifestyle of an individual. And we are reminded where our conversation should be, our lifestyle should be toward heaven. In that wonderful Sermon on the Mount in Matthew the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 19, Jesus reminds us about where our treasure should be, and also reminded us that our heart would not be far behind. In Matthew 6 and verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, or lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And when we talk about and live heaven, that's anticipating heaven. We're not to lay up ourselves treasures on the earth, but we are to make certain we're laying up our treasures in heaven, above the bright blue, the beautiful blue. Jesus indeed is waiting for me and you. Number 4, and we alluded to this in a previous broadcast, we anticipate heaven because of its beauty. Once again, we go back to Revelation 21, verses 10 through 27, and it is worthy for us to take the moment and the time available to read this once again and to see that beauty of a heavenly home. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 10, John says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it." Verse 23. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." May the Lord bless us through the reading of His Word. There's why we anticipate heaven. What a beautiful place. A beautiful place that the words here, we can only imagine that the half has yet been told. How beautiful heaven must be. And as we read this in human descriptions, we know that God's thoughts and His ways are far more exceeding what we can imagine. We anticipate heaven, or we should, because of the hope that we have. Dear friends, if you have a doubt in your hope of heaven, we won't help you. If you anticipate heaven because this world is not your home, wonderful. but are you spending too much time in the thoughts of the earth here more than toward heaven? Is your lifestyle toward heaven? And are you anticipating it because of its beauty? You see, the Christian eagerly anticipates a heavenly home. My friend, are you anticipating heaven today? Are you longing for a place where there is no more hurt, no more pain or sorrow, and the former things are passed away? Revelation 21:4. If you but believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, will be willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Son of God, and be buried in the waters of baptism to be buried into His death, baptized, Romans 6:3-6, raised to walk in newness of life, you become a Christian.